Good morning. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is May 6, 2009. The time is 9:05 a.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Bernie Busher. To my left, immediate left, is Sharon Eubanks, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is here on behalf of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. And I believe Ms. Eubanks will be sitting as the Director's Designee for the first two agenda items. And then for the third agenda item, the Director's Designee will be Dan Carton, who is also Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services. To my immediate right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who is the representative of Attorney General John Southers. Also, to my far left is Maury Kneiser, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the Title Board. And to my far right is Ceci Gomez of the Secretary of State's office. Just a few words about our procedures. The hearing is broadcast over the internet and is recorded. We do have sign-up sheets for anybody who wishes to testify on the tables on the table by the door. Our procedure for each new measure that comes before the board is to take the measures in three steps. Basically, the first step is to provide an opportunity for the board members to ask questions of the proponents to make sure that we understand what the measure does. Then the second step is to determine if the proposed measure, if we have jurisdiction to set a title, and that necessarily involves determining whether the measure satisfies the single subject requirement of the Constitution. And then if the board does determine that it has jurisdiction to set a title, then the third step is to work on setting the title. And typically, we work off of a staff-prepared draft. And for each of the three measures before us this morning, there are staff drafts that have been prepared, and they're on the table by the back door. Of course, we're not concerned with the merits of any of the proposals, but only with setting fair and accurate titles. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board, and anyone who's dissatisfied with the decision of the board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days of today. So with that, I'll turn to the first agenda item, which is 2009-2010 number 10, motor vehicle income and telecommunication taxes and fees. And if we could hear first from the proponents, a representative of the proponents. You'll come forward and identify yourself for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Jeff Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. And I'll go ahead and, unless you have something you want to say by introductory remarks, I'll go ahead and turn to questions.
No, go ahead.
Number 10, I believe, is somewhat like number 4. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you just maybe highlight what some of the differences are?
Well, we didn't add anything. Okay. There's only been deletions. So I'm hoping, since you voted single subject last time, that this will definitely pass single subject. In the enforcement clause, we just took out the part about the state paying for any violations and just left it at a simple audit. I assume the court can be defining the final factor on that one. And then in Section 3 on income, took out the recommendation for closing the tax credit loopholes and remove the alternative minimum tax deletion. And I think that's the bulk of it.
Okay. And another question that I had, and I think you answered this for me before, but I can't recall, but in subsection 3, the income tax rate amount of 4.5% and with later decreases, is that all income tax rates, individual and corporate, or is it just individual income taxes?
That's Colorado has one income tax rate for everything, corporation, personal,
oh, is that right?
And
okay.
Trust, you know, and that would affect everything.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Gross?
Can I just ask what you mean by in the telecommunication paragraph by aiding programs of the state or local governments?
Yeah, anytime the state basically mandates that a company essentially collect taxes for them and then administer a program.
Okay. I wanted to make sure it was that and not some sort of government subsidy for people's phone bills or something, like helping pay poor people's phone bills or something like that. But I think I understand what you're talking about.
Any other questions? If not, then let's turn to the single subject question. And is there anybody else who wishes to testify on number 10? If not, then I'll turn to board discussion on the single subject question. Any discussion by the board? Ms. Eubanks?
Consistent with, I think, my position on number 4, I had concerns with single subject on number 4. I also have those concerns with number 10. Although I agree that it's helpful that this version, number 10, has dropped some of the issues which I think contributed to my concern about the measure being a single subject. The one thing that does still bother me in terms of being a single subject is the requirement. You've got reductions here, both of taxes and on certain fees. And even if you can say that those are all reductions of some sort of charges imposed by government, the one provision that still bothers me is both for vehicles and telecommunications, there's the provision about added charges, sort of future charges. In those two categories shall be tax increases. And what bothers me about that is based on a Supreme Court decision, which is 900 P. Second 121, and this was one of many proposals that the title board saw that did certain, you know, sort of a lump sum tax credit reductions, you know, annual reductions, and there was a laundry list of various taxes to which this credit applied, and the credit grew over time. And in this particular case, some of the initiatives at issue had not only this tax credit, which I can equate to the tax and fee reductions and eliminations in number 10, the measure also had what the court classified as certain procedural requirements regarding future tax increases. And within those procedural requirements was a statement that all subsection 4A issues are tax increases and shall require tax increase ballot titles. So what was in those measures is very similar to what's in this measure, and in terms of, I think, the effect of this language in number 10, about by saying that these additional vehicle and telecommunication charges shall be tax increases, affects future imposition of these charges and makes them subject to the voter approval requirement, ballot title requirements, such as what this measure did at issue in this one particular Supreme Court decision. And in this decision, the court said those future procedural requirements constituted a separate subject than sort of the tax credits, the tax reductions. And so it is still my position that these two provisions in number 10 constitute separate and distinct subjects, separate and apart from the tax and fee reductions and eliminations. And in my mind, especially in reliance to this Supreme Court case, this measure does not constitute a single subject.
Thank you. And what was that citation again?
It's 900 P. Second 121.
Thank you. Mr. Gross, would you like to respond?
Without seeing that case, I can't directly address it. I can tell you last time that a court case was cited that held our hearing over, and after reviewing that court case, it actually confirms my position, so I'm not sure how this one will affect it. The last issue was about enforcement, and the court decided that as long as the enforcement was related to the tax cuts in the initiative, then it was acceptable. So I'm not sure what Mrs. Eubanks is reading. I can tell you that we're not really trying to change anything at all. We're just trying to enforce these tax cuts, because if future charge reductions don't require voter approval, then a day later, the legislator could just go back on all this stuff. So it has to be in there to basically enforce what we're doing here. And that's the way the law is written already, actually, that all tax increases require voter approval. So I'm not adding anything. It's just more of a reiteration.
Well, could I ask you, and I think I probably wasn't reading subsection 4 carefully enough, and I might be persuaded by Ms. Eubanks' position here, but I think I need to understand it a little bit better. The first principle is that no charge shall apply to telephone, pager, cable, et cetera. No charge shall apply is the basic principle there. And then it says added charges shall be tax increases. Well, I probably was assuming that didn't say anything, since you couldn't have a charge in the first place. But now it occurs to me that you could be talking about other charges. So perhaps you could just clarify what that last sentence means. What charges, when you say added charges shall be tax increases, and do you mean if there is an amendment by the legislature, not to this provision? In other words, you first said there are no charges, basically.
Yes.
But so because this is a statutory change, you're saying the legislature could come in and change it?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
They can change this.
So what you're trying to say is when they do that, that would be a tax increase?
Yes, they'd have to ask the voter.
Okay. I mean, that does seem, you know, if taking, I haven't looked at the case Ms. Eubanks cited, but it certainly sounds like the case applies to that situation. But Mr. Domenico.
Well, I understand that there seems to be a bit of a different standard when you're going in one direction than the other, but I find it hard to square that view of that case with more recent cases taking a rather limited view of the single subject provision, and certainly with the language of the single subject provision. I mean, the idea that somehow it would be surprising to say that when in a measure the whole point of which is to remove things that have been called fees and from people's bills, tax bills or phone bills or vehicle registration bills, the idea that it would somehow surprise anyone or constitute a hidden subject to say that we really mean it and that we consider these to be taxes. I mean, to me, saying it as that this is a tax increase is sort of shorthand. You could say the same thing by saying there will be none of these charges, and if you want to add anything, you have to get voter approval, and you can rewrite the Tabor provisions. The idea that that would somehow surprise anyone or mislead anyone or provide an opportunity for log rolling or anything else that typically we consider when we look at the single subject, I can't see anything other than that Supreme Court case that suggests that it makes sense, and given the more recent Supreme Court decisions that have taken a very limited view of our authority under the single subject clause, I'm not willing to simply rely on that case in the face of what I consider common sense and the plain language of the statute.
Well, I think your point's well taken, Mr. Domenico, although I guess where I'm still struggling is, you know, to the extent that these are that these kinds of charges might be viewed as taxes anyway, I think that argument is the strongest. But if this applies to charges that might not be viewed as tax increases, then it seems like that would be kind of a surprising result. And I'm not
I don't think so. I mean, if they're already viewed as taxes, then that provision would be wholly superfluous, that there'd be no need for this at all. And the idea that to me, the idea that you both want to lower taxes and or charges, lower charges and make it difficult to raise them in the future is not the least bit surprising or any potential for misleading people or log rolling or anything else. I understand where the Supreme Court is coming from, and I don't know if my position is likely to prevail there, but I think I have an independent duty to look at the law and not simply to guess what the Supreme Court would do.
So if we look at the statement of the single subject in the staff draft, which is the reduction of government charges, you're saying, I think, and I think this is a strong argument too, that it's perfectly part of that to say that in reducing government charges, a measure might restrict the ability to increase them again by requiring voter approval, for example.
Exactly. I mean, or thinking about it from the other side, if you were to find this two subjects, what would the two measures look like? And one would have to say, we're stripping off all these charges or lowering this rate. And the other would have to say, all these charges require a vote in the future to be raised. To me, the idea that those have to be on a separate ballot makes no sense.
Another way of looking at it is if you didn't have anything in there, then how could they add charges and fees later? Because this cancels all of them. And then you take out the provision that says, well, if you ask the voter, you can add more. So then theoretically, you could never add any if it didn't have something in there. And all that really does is reiterate the Constitution, which is what it says anyways. We're not trying to change anything. It's just a point of clarification more than anything. And I'd really be curious to read that court case and how the final verdict applies to this case, because last time a court case was referenced, and it you said that I couldn't require compliance, and right here it says any audit duties that extended to tax and fees that weren't contained in the initiative. So I was completely in compliance last time, actually, and the meeting probably should have never been held over. So I'm
Ms. Eubanks?
And I guess, you know, in understanding the proponent's position that the measure doesn't change anything, I think arguably it does, in terms of there have been increases in, for example, motor vehicle registration fees that have not been subjected to voter approval. So
yeah, unconstitutional increases.
And I'm just making the statement that there have been increases with that have not required voter approval. They're presumed, you know, constitutional until a court says otherwise. So they're on the books, they're being imposed, and so by this statute, if it was approved by the voters, it would change that in terms of making those types of charges subject to voter approval by saying that their tax increases, both in the category of the motor vehicle registration and other charges, as well as the telecommunication charges. And so I do think this measure does change the procedural requirements for the imposition or increasing of those types of charges. And based on this court decision, those procedural type of requirements were viewed differently than the portion of the measure at issue that was reducing taxes in that particular case, similar to this measure that is reducing various taxes and fees. And so I consistent with my concerns with number four, I believe that I voted against it constituting a single subject when this title board heard that measure back in March. And I think that's just where I am right now.
Okay. I'm going to read one more thing from Westlaw 987P2. The court may not interpret the merits of a proposed initiative or analyze the application an initiative might have when determining whether the initiative complies with the single subject requirement. However, the court must of necessity engage in a limited analysis of the meaning of each complex initiative to determine what is the subject or subjects of the initiative. So look at it both ways, I think.
Well, I think I'm going to, I mean, I think there's arguments on both sides. I think I would, I'm going to err on the side of assuming a single subject here for the basically the reasons I just referred to, that I think this last sentence does relate to the reduction of government, the reduction of government charges. And if there's a motion for rehearing, then I probably would, that would give me a chance to look at that case a little more carefully, and I might feel differently, but at this point I think I'd vote to find a single subject. And I did on number four as well. Any other discussion? If not, then I guess I'll go ahead and make the motion that we find that the measure comprises a single subject and that we proceed to set a title. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Then let's turn to the staff draft. Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff draft on the screen in the room. Mr. Gross, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
I did look at it. It's not bad. I had a few changes that I would recommend. Actually, a couple deletions and one addition, believe it or not. So if you want me to share those with you right now, I will.
Sure, go ahead.
The first thing, I understand the level of detail that you're trying to provide, and I'm willing to concede on that. I think you could say all this in about 28 words if you really tried, but I understand the level of detail. I would, however, right in the very first line, you say concerning. You use the word concerning the reduction of government charges. And concerning is an adjective that's trying to say there's something to be concerned about. And I think we can say that without using that word. I think we could say reducing government charges. Just an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes reducing government charges. and just get rid of the word concerning, because I think that sort of throws up a red flag, and I think that's subjective, and I don't think there's any concern there. I think you can just say reducing government charges.
And I'll comment that I actually tend to agree with you, although there's two things that kind of points me in the other direction. One is that we do have to clearly express a single subject. That's one of our requirements. So there has to be a subject, and reducing is a kind of an action, and I think we need a subject. But the second reason is that we're also told to employ the procedures that the and practices of the General Assembly in setting titles, and that's customarily the way they identify this the single subject of a of an act, is to say concerning the subject of it, and then with some trailers perhaps describing the major features. So I personally would prefer to in this case at least to stick with the basic format that we have traditionally used.
Could you say referencing?
It sounds like it's doing something, and as opposed to a subject. I mean, I appreciate that although I don't agree, but I appreciate the feeling that maybe when you say concerning, that signals that there is a concern.
Yeah,
but I think there's
exactly.
I think there's another use of it that, you know, that that just expresses that this is what something is about.
Okay. Another change would be in line 5. It says lowering the income tax. You could add state. Lowering the state income tax, just so that there's no confusion down the road. Nobody thinks it's federal or any other kind of income tax. I think that would be appropriate to put that in there. And then finally, on line 9 and 10, the very last, and requiring the state to audit yearly compliance with this measure. I don't even know if we'd be here if you guys weren't going to audit this. I mean, there's no point in trying to change a law. I think that's a I don't even know if that's a detail. That's just a reiteration of the obvious, and I think we could just chop that whole last line off and put a period after tax increases. It just saves some confusion at the very end, and an audit for a law is nothing new, and it's not a detail, and I just don't think it's necessary. So,
okay, thank you.
Other than that, I would be willing to accept the title, but I know you guys have the final say, so.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Groves. Discussion by the board? Ms. Eubanks?
In recognizing that I believe the staff draft is based on what this board did with number 4 before then it was laid over and ultimately withdrawn, so we never really finished our work on it. But according to my notes, and I even went back and listened to the meeting tape, but I don't think that we set the single subject on number 4 as the reduction of government charges. I had it that it was concerning limits on sources of government revenue. And I think that that might be a more appropriate statement of single subject, because I'm not sure that the voter approval requirement of saying that these charges are tax increases fit within a reduction of government charges. And I think perhaps that's why we had a little bit broader subject when we met on number 4. And so I might suggest that we expand the single subject statement to be limits on sources of government revenue, as we did before.
I like that. I appreciate that you went back and did the homework. I did have a note that Mr. Domenico suggested limits on sources of government revenue. What your suggestion is, Mr. Gross?
Yeah, this is government charge reductions. We're reducing charges. Now, how that applies to the Constitution is not what I'm trying to do here.
Well, you are doing more though than just reducing it. I think Ms. Eubanks is right about that. You're reducing it and preventing it from going back up.
The Constitution prevents it. I don't.
You and I may wish that the Constitution did, but it actually doesn't, as it's been interpreted. I mean, without the language that we've been talking about, I think you'd agree with me that most of these kinds of charges would the legislature could add them back on
and would not, they would not be found to be unconstitutional. Now, whether or not they should is a different question, but in the world we operate in, where the Supreme Court tells us what the Constitution says, without that provision, I think Ms. Eubanks is right that the legislature could just go back in and put these right back on, or a municipality or whoever it is. That, and that's, I assume, why it's in there. And part of why I think it's not a single subject violation is the very fact that without that, this would sort of be a pointless exercise that would just reset things and go back.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure if that's what Mrs. Eubanks is talking about. Are you talking about the state revenue and spending limit for the state formula? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the voter approval requirement. The fact that your measure, by stating that those vehicle charges and telecommunication charges are tax increases, I think the meaning of that is then it becomes subject to voter approval and all of the requirements that are required of tax increases. Those are requirements that are not currently imposed on these kind of charges. And therefore, that's something new and different. And in terms of the statement of single subject, I think it needs to be broad enough to include that requirement of your measure, as well as the various tax and fee reductions that it provides.
I guess I would go ahead and move then that we adopt that change. Instead of saying concerning the reduction of government charges, that we say concerning limitations on sources of government revenue.
Can I just, I guess, disagree with myself?
And I hope
that was my idea. I like the limit language, but I don't know that I like the sources of government revenue as much as government charges. Saying limits on sources of government revenue, to me, implies you're saying these sources are off limits. You can't raise revenue at all from this list of potential revenue sources. And I don't know if limits on government charges, I think, is a little bit better.
I would like to add one thing, that this ballot title is for number 10, because this one didn't come about that we had that mishearing because you labeled it number 8. The one for number 4 was three times as long, twice as long. So this title is specifically for number 10. It didn't appear until I submitted number 10. So the one for number 4 was quite a bit different, actually. So I don't think that that's accurate to say that this refers to number 4. Because they changed the wording right in the beginning and put government charges, and that's how we retitled this petition, and put reducing government charges. So this one's relevant to what we're talking about. I don't think legislative council was confused when they made this title. I don't see how that would be possible.
Well, I'm just trying to make the achieve a title that is reflective of the measure that's before us today, number 10.
Right. That's fine. I understand that. But I just don't think that this was for, they didn't write this for something else. I thought somebody said that. I think that this was, they did this for number 10.
And I think, Mr. Domenico, your point on the expression of a single subject is that not limits on the types of sources. I mean, I think, I'm trying to think that through. I think what I liked about the word source is that it signals that the measure identifies different sources and reduces those charges, that it's kind of source specific. But your point's well taken. We're not actually exactly saying that really reductions, and that's what you're trying to
emphasize. Yeah, what we really are trying to say is something like limits on some government charges, that it's not a limit on every government charge. But I don't know that needs to be in the single subject. And I could probably even live with reduction, but I think limits it is a little broader and avoids any potential problem, I think. So I would do it as limits on government charges.
Banks, do you have any comment?
Fine.
Let's try limits on government charges. Mr. Gross, any further comment?
I don't like that change. I think that's, we're not talking about limits, we're talking about reducing government charges.
But you are talking about limits also, right? I mean, not only are they reduced, but they can't be raised, which is what a limit is.
With voter approval, they can be raised. And the voters approve REFC and other tax increases. So, I mean, it's not, I just think limit sort of is a throwback to Mrs. Eubanks' concerns on number four, because she was concerned whether I was limiting revenue limits, and this would apply, the voter approved revenue change, and would this apply to state spending revenue and limits, and that's where that word came from in the first place, I thought, and that's why we took it out, to just avoid the confusion, because we felt we were confusing you and we didn't want to. So I don't want this to get into a discussion about government revenue limits. We're reducing charges, and if they want to increase limits some other way, they can.
Well, I think I'm persuaded that there's more than just reductions, I think, as Mr. Domenico said, and I think Ms. Eubanks, too, that the restrictions on increases is captured by limits. It's not captured by reduction. So I prefer to stick with the change that we have on the screen. And I guess I'll go ahead and move that change. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Other changes, Ms. Eubanks?
As Mr. Gross suggested, on line 5, before income, to insert state.
I'll move that change.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Further changes to the staff draft?
I was just going to suggest we could get rid of over 10 or more years on line 6. I don't know that we need to, but I don't know that it adds much. And
so that phrase would just, and phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5%, semicolon. Mr. Gross, any comment?
No, go ahead.
You can go along with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel strongly about it. It just seemed the number of years is pretty uncertain, and phasing in captures that idea, I think.
Eubanks, are you okay with that?
Fine.
I'll move that change.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other changes?
Can we get rid of the audit at the end? I just think that you're going, go down, it flows through all these tax reductions, and then all of a sudden you throw this and requiring the state to audit yearly compliance. And I just, that's more than a detail. That's stating the obvious, and I don't think that we're trying to change anything here. It's just added words, and it'll confuse the voter, I think.
I think I agree with that. I mean, the audit is important maybe to people in state government and people in the local governments who would be having to deal with it directly, but I don't know that it's material in the mind of a typical voter or any voter, really. So I think I would be okay with it. It's not a major problem having it in there, obviously, but
I don't have any strong feeling one way or the other. I don't think it necessarily follows that there would be audits. As you point out, Mr. Domenico, maybe I'm influenced by my position in state government that this is something a little new and different. This would not happen automatically. On the other hand, you know, enforcement details, you know, generally, unless they're really surprising, I'm not crazy about adding them to a title, but
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the more material for anybody, for a typical voter, it's more material that that plaintiffs, that there's a private right of action, apparently, in here, is more material than the state's audit. But, so, I don't know. I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time talking about it. I would be fine getting rid of it. So I guess I'll move that we remove that last clause.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So we'd strike the last clause, and then and that motion also was to insert an and for the whatever the beginning of the what is now the last clause, if somebody can find that.
Line 8 before stating.
Yeah, right. Right at the beginning of line 8.
Consider that change adopted. Any other changes to the staff draft? If not, is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
So moved.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And it's understood that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause in what follows line 10, what's on the screen now.
Yes.
That concludes action on number 10, and the time is 9:46 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Gross.
Thank you. Sessie, can I get an email copy of that today? Or if you could print it, I'd take a print out of it. That'd be great.
Start reading cases because of you, and it's like, oh.
Okay, let's turn to the next agenda item, which is 2009-2010, number 12. Property taxes. We could hear from proponents first. Mr. Schroeder, if you'll identify yourself for the record, please.
Okay. Thank you very much. Number 12 is a continuation from number 11. And we have the staff draft that we were all provided by Ms. Gomez. And I'm sorry that I've been out of town and just got back in a rush here and didn't pay attention until Monday night to realize that the staff draft was substantially different than what we ended up with on 11. And there's no substantial difference between 11 and 12. So I have for everybody a copy of the staff draft from 11 with my proposed changes, and I would like to ask that you consider using this as your point of departure. Rather than going through the staff draft that we came in here with, and I've asked Ms. Gomez to please have it ready to throw on the screen today, hoping that you would approve my request, and she has already done so to make the process hopefully a little bit slicker, smoother, and faster.
Schroeder,
yes.
Would you just catch me up here on what the differences are between number 12 and number 11? I mean, I think there were several differences.
I apologize for not bringing 11 here today, and it was a matter of a couple words that I thought that I totally intended to be insubstantial.
And I'm not sure. I was trying to mark some that I noticed, but I'm not sure that I remember any that were substantive. I do remember some minor ones. At the risk of boring everybody, the ones that I marked in 10B, the first sentence, electors may vote on property taxes where they own real property. In number 11, it said electors may vote on property taxes in all districts where they own taxable real property. Not sure that I see a difference there. The next sentence, number 12, says adopting state law, and number 11 said using state procedures in number 11.
Okay.
And I'm not sure whether that's a substantive change or not. Am I being accurate here? I hope I'm looking. I'm just.
No, that is accurate in my recollection, and I just like the choice of words better.
So you're not intending, whether you say adopting state law or using state procedures, it's all the same.
My intent that it be all the same, yes.
Okay, the point is, and this is a sentence that deals with districts have to allow petitions to lower property taxes. But the point being, you'd follow state procedures, initiative procedures?
Yes.
Either way. I think a substantive difference is that towards the end of paragraph B in number 12, then it says non-college school districts shall phase out equally by 2020 half their 2011 rate.
Which line are you using?
In your measure, I'm looking at the end of paragraph B, 10B, the second to the last line.
Okay.
Which says non-college school districts shall phase out equally by 2020 half their 2011 rate. And I don't remember the half in number 11.
Mm-hmm.
It was 30%, I guess.
It was changed, according to my recollection, when I came in with 11, I changed it to half from 30% originally.
Okay. And I see right before that, one other difference. In number 11, right before that provision about school districts phasing out tax rates, in number 11 there was a sentence that said lower rates shall negate excess revenue. And that, I think, is omitted from number 12.
Yes.
And I don't know whether that will bear on titles or not, but that seems to be a substantive change. I think there were one or two changes in paragraph C.
Yes.
So in number 12, that introductory portion omits a couple of words that are in number 11. In number 12, it says these property tax increases, extensions, and abatement rates after 1992 shall expire. Number 11 has said expire by lower rates.
Correct.
Any substantive difference there?
No, none intended.
Not sure. I didn't mark any other changes, so I'm not sure if there was anything else that was different. So there are, in any event, I think there are some differences here. I don't know how they play into the staff draft versus for number 12 versus the draft for number 11 or your suggestions. But I think we should turn to the single subject question. Before going any further, I believe we found a single subject for number 11. Any discussion about single subject for number 12? Ms. Eubanks?
I think on prior measures, I've had concerns about single subject, and I think I'm still that way. Mr. Schroeder, if I could ask you just one question to clarify, and it's because I was reading cases for the other measure we had earlier. Mm-hmm. The provision of your measure dealing with the audit
yes.
requirements, it refers to this section, and so I assume that means Section 20 of Article 10 rather than what's being done with your measure in particular? I mean...
Yes, it's referring to the Tabor Amendment, yes.
Okay, and so because it's including property tax requirements included in Section 20 that isn't included in this subsection 10 that you're proposing, can you explain to me again the types of requirements currently in Tabor that the state would be required to audit pursuant to this language of your measure?
I do not have Tabor in front of me to refer to. I'm sorry, but the purpose of this is to reinforce and ensure that it's very clear that the state will audit this annually.
But when you say this, it's not just your measure; it's current provisions of Section 20 that deal with property tax.
With all the property taxes of this section, when I say this section, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Section 10.
So your intention is that the audit requirements only apply to subsection 10
correct.
Of your measure, rather than Section 20 of Article 10.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Schroeder? I sort of skipped over that.
Let me ask Ms. Eubanks a question about that, if I may. Do you think it would be better or provide more clarification in where it says... with all property tax requirements of this section, to read this subsection, would that be better?
Purely from a drafting perspective, if your intent is to have the audit requirement only apply to the contents of your measure, then I would suggest it refer to subsection rather than section, because at least in my mind, section is Section 20, but how you draft it is up to you. Just from my drafting experience, I think it might be helpful to be more specific.
I concur with that.
Ms. Eubanks, I had forgotten that you were an opponent of the single subject on
yes.
finding. Would you mind refreshing my memory on your reasoning?
Sure.
Which is always good, so I want to have the benefit of it. So.
And that's assuming that I can remember all of the reasons that I stated before.
Yeah.
I think this is our third version of this measure
correct.
That we've seen. And so I think that I was probably most explicit. I think number 7 might have been the first version of Mr. Schroeder's measure that the title board had seen. And I think I had concerns just because there's such a variety of changes being made in this measure, although dealing generally with property tax, that there's procedural requirements for property tax measures, elections, and initiatives. There's elimination of property tax exemption for enterprises and authorities, a prohibition against fees and taxes on property imposed by enterprises and other unelected boards, expiration of voter-approved retention of excess property tax revenues, alteration of previously enacted property tax extensions, increases in abatement levies, restoration of debt limit. I mean, there's just a variety of things going on, and I think that through the discussions in terms of setting titles for previous versions, that especially because of the fees on property, which is something separate and distinct from property taxes in terms of ad valorem taxes on real and personal property, that this, we've talked even, you know, in terms of charges on property, but there's such just a wide variety of things being done. I don't know that there's that necessary connection between all of these things being done, even when you group it under that very broad subject matter. And I think that was sort of the basis of my single subject concern that I expressed previously.
Thank you. And I don't think any of the changes that were made in number 12 would, I mean, it's not going to change your opinion.
I would view the changes between 11 and 12 to be very minor and not very substantive.
Well, I'll just, continuing the discussion on single subject, I think, although I don't have much of a recollection of the discussion before, I think it seems like this is a pretty broad measure, and it does encompass a great many things. I'm, at this point, probably still inclined to find a single subject, but. Mr. Domenico, any thoughts?
Well, I'm still where I was. I mean, it does a lot of things, but they all have to do with property taxes, and even more specifically, they all have to do with lowering and preventing from property tax rates, essentially, from going back up. That's, to me, actually a pretty narrow subject. There are a couple of somewhat odd things. The requiring enterprises to pay property taxes is a little bit different, but it's still related in that the purpose of it is essentially to lower, use that revenue to lower other people's rates. It is fairly complicated, does try to do a lot of things, but they're all pretty clearly related, it seems to me.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and make a motion then that we find, that the board find that the measure comprises a single subject, that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Then we do have a staff draft, and Mr. Schroeder has also indicated that I think that he believes that this, that the titles we set for number 11 were better, and he has some suggestions to that. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'd like to point out two things.
And Ms. Eubanks is displaying the titles that we set for number 11, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gomez, sorry. Yes,
ma'am. Yeah.
And I will say, at first glance, I thought maybe number 11 was a little better myself, but maybe if you could just elaborate a little bit, Mr. Schroeder.
You know, as we have already beat the horse long after he died, that we have a different perspective on length. And I think I understand how far I would get going into that any further, so we'll not go there. However, I would point out that when you look at the in the staff draft, I have the same concern about the word concerning, all, for all the same reasons. I sat here and heard what you just said about the other one. It's the same thing we said before. So I don't want to pursue that. However, I do believe that we need to insert between, if you look there at your staff draft on the first line, that we should say government charges on property, because they're not landscaping charges, they're not cable TV charges or anything, they're government charges. And I think you may be surprised I want to add a word, but I believe that that is necessary to say in there. And then down in the body of the staff draft. You kept the numbers on everything, and I'm also a big proponent of the KISS principle, and I am, you'll see, proposing that that not be listed that way, and that the clauses at the end, I think, should be deleted because they're already covered by the expiration dates clause above. And if you want to be redundant, then I have a word suggestion for you there on the bottom. And I understand that sometimes it's desirable to be redundant for different reasons.
Ms. Eubanks?
Just to help simplify, and I don't quite understand why the staff draft for 12 wasn't based on the title that we set for 11, but just for us moving forward, could I suggest that we just work off the title, that the number 11 title? I think that would save us some time and effort and avoid going over, I think, changes that ultimately we made and that are reflected in number 11.
Those are all reasons that I prepared it and suggested that. Thank you.
I think that makes sense to me. So we've got number 11 displayed on the screen, not by Ms. Eubanks, but by Ms. Gomez. So then let's look at changes that we might want to make. Mr. Schroeder suggested some. And by the way, I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anybody present who would like to testify on number 12?
Nothing.
I don't see anyone.
Nothing I know
so.
Of, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Hobbs, was there anything in your review of the changes from number 11 that you thought merited a change in the title? I'm not sure I noticed anything.
I'm not sure. I'm looking at that now. I mean, so for example, in line 6 and 7, requiring school districts to reduce property tax rates, we didn't say whether it was 30% or half, so I don't think that change makes any difference. I mean, so far I haven't found anything that would result in a change to the titles we set on number 11.
I think has been rewritten a little bit that might, in a way that might make it possible to simplify those last four lines.
Good.
If we want to try that, I don't know that it would eliminate a whole lot. But instead of using a bunch of different verbs, I think you could just say eliminating taxes exceeding state laws, et cetera, or the one or the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, or approved without ballot language. I think you could use one verb.
and thus one clause to capture all of C now, the way it's written.
So what would that be?
Well, I think if you took, starting on 7, where it says restoring state property, it would have to be something like eliminating taxes exceeding, and then you would go state property tax laws, policies existing in 92 that have been changed, weakened, violated, or exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, or approved without certain ballot language, approved by voters without. I don't know that it would save you a lot of words. It would save you 2 semicolons, so.
Mr. Schroeder, do you have any comment? I mean, you like brevity.
I liked it as I heard it, but I'm not sure that I'm translating it in there without seeing it.
Well, shall we take a run at it?
Sure, I can try. So I think I would, there on 7 after the semicolon, say, and eliminating taxes exceeding, and then I would delete restoring, and then let's see, on line 9. Get rid of the semicolon and put a comma. And I don't, you might want to put an or there, but maybe not. But I would delete reducing property taxes to, and then I would get rid of the other semicolon on 10 after ballot question and replace it with a comma. Definitely put an or there. No, and then I would delete actually, no. Now that I think about it, I would leave the and, get rid of that or. And then I think I would go back to where I was on line 9 and say, eliminating taxes exceeding, et cetera, et cetera. Eliminating taxes and put an or there.
Where I'm at
right here. Yeah, where you are. Well, that didn't do much. What I was thinking originally was on line 10, you could
get rid of well, and maybe you still could. You could get rid of eliminating property tax rate increases or extensions and replace it with not. And maybe you have to say, and those not. Yeah, could you?
Would you, Mr. Domenico, would you consider in line 10 substituting the word or for the words and those?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
That might be a good idea. And I was also thinking that it might make sense to switch the order, move the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question to eliminating taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, or state property tax laws and policies, just because that first clause has so many commas and is kind of longer, might make it easier, even though they're in the other order in the measure. Well, I think I would suggest taking the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, moving it to immediately after exceeding on line 8.
Just as an alternative, I mean, the issue is that we have two things that are exceeding in terms of eliminating taxes exceeding, and then one that's eliminating taxes not approved by voters. And so we can try it the way Mr. Domenico has suggested, in terms of still trying to use one exceeding to deal with the two phrases and then have the not approved. Or, and I do think that switching the order is helpful, because that second phrase now about property tax laws, policies, and limits, it's a little bit more complicated as you get along with the violated, charged, or weakened. Another way of dealing with it is perhaps including another exceeding. I know you're mm-hmm. trying to consolidate, but if you say exceeding the dollar amount, exceeding state property tax laws, or not approved by voters, at least it helps distinguish each particular type that you're dealing with.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I mean, so we could keep, in terms of the order that you have it now, just to say exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot measure, comma, exceeding state property tax laws, policies, and limits. And then down on line 10, strike the comma after or, as well as the and those.
One other thought I had was we're using ing words in kind of different ways. If you change the exceeding to eliminating taxes that exceed the dollar amount that or exceed state property tax laws, I think that might eliminate some of the confusion. You probably don't need that or now that I look at it. The one you just put in on line 8.
If you do that, do you need...
Might say that.
On though. The last phrase, are not approved?
Yeah, or are not or
that
were not.
Are not approved?
Yes, I think you do. Or I think it should be were. That were not.
Were not approved. Okay. That would be fine.
Were.
I don't know that you need that, though. Just the...
Mm-hmm.
Or were not approved.
And then the only question there is, do we need to add... I like that. Property on line 7 after eliminating and before taxes. I'm not sure we do, but... The old version, we had property in there 2 or 3 times. We may want it in there once.
Do you think, in light of first two lines, is it necessary to have property in there all those other times?
Well, we talked
about
that.
I'm getting a violent shaking. Yes.
I think we decided we do.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing I thought was maybe we would have a that in there on line 8, but I think it's okay without it.
No, I kind of like the 3 that's, basically, but, you know, I may be wrong. I mean, if you're thinking about that.
Yeah, probably if you do that, you should put one in line 10 also.
Yeah. It'd be that exceed, and then where the cursor is, and then...
That were not approved.
Yeah, that were not approved. Should we try that? So where the... Oh, sorry. Yeah, right there, and then again in middle of line 10 right there.
Or that were?
Correct.
I'm all right either way.
So we now have, just for the record, what we have that last clause reading, it would read, and eliminating property taxes that exceed the dollar amount exceeded in an approved ballot question, comma, that exceeds state property tax laws, comma, policies, comma, and limits existing in 1982 that have been violated, comma, changed or weakened without state voter approval, comma, or that were not approved by voters without certain ballot language. Everybody okay with that? I'll move that change.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Further changes?
Well, it's probably futile. I don't agree with the current thinking that the word concerning, as when it's used as a verb like this, has any negative connotation. But I do think it's lawyer-y kind of thing you learn to use when you're trying to fill up a minimum page requirement in college, and would be perfectly happy using the word about to describe the single subject in this measure and every measure we adopt. A single subject is what something is about. But I'll just put that out there. I'm sure that that will be a change that's years in making. So I'm happy with it as is for now.
May I comment on that?
Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. I really strongly agree with what Mr. Monica just said. The negative connotation, when somebody says I have a concern about this or concerning this or that, I'm immediately hearing negative vibes, and I appreciate that comment.
I won't bother with the motion, though.
Someday I'll look back and say Mr. Domenico is right all along. But
you can avoid that problem.
Any other motions to change the draft as we have it? If not, is there a motion to adopt the title as we have? Really, we have it, basically it's number 11 as we have amended it, with the understanding that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause, which appears below what is now line 11.
So moved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that completes action on number 12, and the time is 10:27 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Gomez is going to zap me a copy of that this afternoon, please.
It'll be unofficial.
I understand it's unofficial, yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Sure.
Good luck. Let's take about a 5-minute break.
I could be mistaken.
Maybe it was more. I was looking at all these elections.
Yeah, I just don't remember.
I asked the three that came on.